Slid off the side where I was supposed to go. I was going slow enough to stop, of course, but it was really slick.
A friend of mine said that he saw two cars in the ditch. Another friend said he did about a 180 on the highway, you know, just, and he was only doing like 30 mile an hour.
I wasn't going to drive my car because it's like covered in a sheet of ice, so I decided to walk.
It is pretty slow moving. Fortunately, people are taking their time and things look pretty good.
Ice, oil, and fire, that's what we're going to talk about partially during this hour of America Tonight. Hello, everybody. Kate Delaney here with you at the helm of ATN. Brr, to some of you who have had to really bundle up and probably take it slow on some of the roadways. You know, they say the storm again in the Midwest, that glistening ice or even some black ice in some cases, which I think is the worst thing ever, but it's canceled a bunch of flights, a lot of roads are closed. It's going to be a mess to the start of the work week for a lot of people. That freezing rain, to me, is the absolute deadliest of all, especially if you have flakes somewhere involved in that. In Iowa, it was so bad, they called off church. Go talk to God in your house. Don't come to the pews. It's just too darn dangerous because they had sheet upon sheet of ice. And, I mean, just they're talking about half an inch by midday on Sunday. So it was a nightmare to get in and out of Chicago, Minneapolis, St. Louis. A lot of planes grounded on some nasty, nasty, icy runways. If you're flying somewhere, make sure you check to see if the flight's even leaving, because Monday will be kind of a freaky travel day in any of those areas if you happen to be going through them, too. Our mothership at GCN is in Minneapolis, St. Paul. The glue of the show, Matt Johnson, had a little trouble getting in. Matt, what was it like for you? Was it that black ice or just sheets of ice or terrible traffic or what?
It was more of a traffic thing here because there was, we got a little ice, and I think actually the ride home tonight is going to be the worst part of it because there will be significant ice with snow on top of it. But the way in, it was about 32, 33 degrees, so it was more of that slushy snow that was on top of the roads. And people were, they were overly cautious, I would say that. And for myself, I'm pretty confident in my winter driving ability, and I have snow tires on my car, so if traffic's moving at about 30, 35 miles an hour, I'm confident going, you know, 45, 50, and people don't know how to move over to the right lane. That's always been a pet peeve of mine.
Yeah, what's up with that? I don't get that either. It's infuriating to see people crawl along the right lane on any day, no matter what you have going on, and that's usually what causes accidents. A lot of times it's the people that are going slower, and in ice sometimes when you're going slower, that's when you whip out.
Yeah, and there actually was on 35W, which in Minneapolis and St. Paul, there's Interstate 35, and it, the 35W is the west side, 35E is the east side. One goes through St. Paul, one goes through Minneapolis. And I was on 35W south, and there was a car that was stalled in the middle of the freeway.
Ooh!
It's like, buddy, get over onto the shoulder. I know, like, if you feel your car slowing down and coming to a stop, you've got to get over.
No kidding. You cannot stop in the, that is deadly. And then how do you, you're not getting out of the car then. The car dies, you're like on the middle of a bridge somewhere,
yeah,
or you're coming out.
And that was one part of the, because everyone was having to kind of maneuver around him, and there's, you know, they do a pretty good job around here of plowing the freeways especially, but because of where his car was, people were having to go in onto the shoulders. The shoulders obviously aren't cleared because they're trying to get all four lanes of traffic cleared first and worry about all the other stuff later, so people were having to go into the deep snow, and that caused some problems.
Yeah, yeah. So Minneapolis, there's your report. You just heard all the skinny from Matt, and, you know, duh, if your car's starting to die, you have got to turn the wheel. You have got to get out of the middle of the road. Brothers and sisters, what are you thinking? Just, I'm just going to stay here in my car. That happened to Victoria Jones, who comes on with us from Washington, D.C. One time she just got caught in the middle of traffic, but her car just flat out died. There was no warning sign. And she was in the middle of traffic. I can't think of a worse place to be. Now, 270, I've traveled on that highway in Missouri. Ramps connecting there were nasty. Interstate 70 closed, lots of it closed because of the ice. Later on in the day, when it got warmer on Sunday, it opened up. But you had that instant icing, the windshields, the road surfaces, driveways, sidewalks, parking lots. I think it's terrible, too, when you do the parking lot thing. That's why in Iowa it was smart that they canceled church, because then you got people in shoes trying to make their way into the church, and you are slip-sliding all over the place. It's the worst. I don't even know. Some boots work in those cases, but I've never found anything that it completely, unless you're on ice skates, is a guarantee that you're going to be okay walking a far distance on any kind of sheet of ice. Worst experience ever. I mean, I bet you all have had some dealing with ice in your life. Even if you live in a warm weather place, I bet at some point in your lifetime you had an experience with ice. When I was in college, Ohio University, we went to Bowling Green. It turned out to be one of the worst times to go, and we had to walk across the parking lot. It was solid ice. It was freezing. I thought I was, like, in the Antarctic. It was terrible. Even I just wanted to crawl. I was just like, I don't care. I don't care what I look like. I will just get down, and I will just crawl on this ice. It was that treacherous. And then you're worried because, okay, It is like being in Alaska here, so when we wake up, it's probably going to be the same thing. We're going to have to walk across the sheets of ice, and sure enough, it was like that. It was kind of a rough couple of days. It's terrible to get anywhere. Actually, what happened was somebody had a snowmobile, and the guy I know that had a snowmobile was kind of taking me around the campus on the snowmobile. Oh, well, sometimes you have to improvise. Speaking of improvising, you know what they say about the Postal Service? What's their motto? Sleet, hail, snow, abominable snowman, the devil encounters, whatever, dogs. I'm exaggerating, of course, but, you know, that they're going to deliver no matter what. But have you mailed anything lately since we live in the Internet world? You know, the price of a stamp is going up. It went up Sunday. Boom, like that. So if you got any 45 centers, you got to get another cent to add to that. 46 cents. Postcards are 33 cents if you're sending a postcard to someone. But 46 cents to mail a letter. They had to do this because a penny here, a penny there, they might be able to save the services. It's that bad. And if you're sending something, a forever global thing, it's $110 because you're going to carry this service on your back, the USPS. No, it's $1.10 for 1 ounce letters anywhere in the world. So everything went up. You know, they've got free tracking and blah, 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 blah. But how many people are mailing letters anyway? I mean, honestly, when was the last time that you got a letter? Christmas time. How many cards did you get? I counted 10. Got 10 cards. I got, you know, online things, online cards, but really just 10 cards. The whole thing of writing a letter or writing a note is kind of out of date, out of touch. Unfortunately, because I think it's cool to get a handwritten letter. Better do it while you can, I'm telling you. All right, we're going to flip over to the opposite side of this segment and jump into some odds and ends. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Do you know how much the dollar has lost in its value against other currencies in the last 90 days? Ever think about how inflation will change your life, your savings, your retirement plans? Remember inflation in Zimbabwe, Argentina, the Weimar Republic? Put another way, who cares if your investments go up 10%, but you lose 40% of your purchasing power? Gold is the only monetary asset as no one else's liability. Gold still buys the same amount of stuff it always did. Gold does not require trust in a third party. You can possess it in your hand. You can take it with you. Gold is real money. Gold is honest money. My name is Daniel Larson from Midas Resources. To find out how you can protect your savings and roll over your IRA funds into precious metals accounts, please call me at 800-686-2237, extension 134. That's 800-686-2237, extension 134. 800-686-2237, extension 134.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Tonight, Black Dog 2000. There's got to be something behind that name. It says, Kate, I'm in Wyoming and Utah in the morning and went through Colorado. Last week I drove on ice. It was fun, sort of, especially at night. Well, if there's no one around, yeah, and especially if you were in a parking lot and you were just, you know, doing wheelies, kind of just busting out, making a figure eight of your own with the wheels. You know what I'm saying? That might be a little bit different, but it's when you're on the road, it's not fun. Oh, boy, it's not fun. I have done the white knuckle thing a few times, and I'm like Matt. I say you just drive, and I'm not afraid to drive on ice, but it's the people around you that are scary because of the fact that they'll stay in the right lane or they don't, or then they speed up all of a sudden and lose control. The worst time, I'll just throw in one more time, the worst time that I've seen, I talked about being in Bowling Green, and that was on foot in the parking lot thing. In Dallas, Texas, and this was probably 10 years ago, going to catch a plane to Philadelphia, and it was right around Christmas time, the ride to the airport, which was like about maybe 20 miles, I think, I want to say it was like 20 miles, oh, it was nothing but cars, abandoned cars, people flipping out and banking their cars into rails, falling over the, you know, diving down into the embankments and all that kind of stuff. Because all of a sudden, they would decide to speed up, I guess. Felt like it was okay, and then, phew, so they would do that thing where you're jerking the car, kind of. You're going slow, and then all of a sudden, boom, I'm going to put my foot on this gas. I'm going to lay some lead out. And it was nasty. I think that's the most I've ever seen cars spin out, and on the overpasses and stuff. The overpasses, they always warn you about that, but it is It is brutal. And that's what I saw. A lot of cars were it was like an obstacle course to get around them. They were in lots of different directions, the cars sticking out because they hit the walls when they were going around the side. And that's got to be the worst, too, because it's at an awkward time in the morning and you're stuck in the middle of nowhere and you're in the middle of nowhere, essentially, because there's so many other cars that are broken down. And, yeah, it's pretty tough. So a warning, be careful with the ice. And, you know, with the airports, it's funny. There's an extra added problem for those who go to the Denver International Airport. You know what it is? I haven't been there in a while. The rabbits are chewing away brake lines and the wiring. Are you kidding me? That's a hungry hare. Well, I got to take a chunk out of this person's brake line. And they didn't really understand what was going on until they finally figured out somehow somebody came out and actually saw a rabbit doing it. People would drive away, have no idea, from the airport, but there was tons of rabbits multiplying before your very eyes at the Denver parking lot in the Denver International Airport, and that's what they were doing. So the wildlife services there have been called in to try to remove any rabbits, but what happened was already done. They were already really, really chewing on the cars, and the people that left the parking lots had no idea. Can you imagine you're pumping your brake? You're thinking, who would want to kill me? Why doesn't this brake work? I don't understand. And you're just, that's a scary feeling. You're thinking, what? I'm not in a Pinto. What's going on here? And you're pumping the brakes, nothing. You got absolutely nothing coming back. Oh, nasty. All right, odds and ends. 2014 is when we are supposed to be out of Iraq completely, right? Poof, we're gone. We're leave a few stragglers, some State Department people, some troops here and there. Of course, they want Afghanistan. They want more people in Afghanistan, right? Well, that's what Hamid Karzai would like to see. First, he doesn't want the troops. Then he wants more troops. Beware of the drones because of the collateral damage. So it just depends on the day of the week how Karzai feels. But now he's getting a little bit nervous. So the talk is how many are going to be left behind? And the answer is hopefully not that many. 2014, we're supposed to be gone. Let's go. I know the inevitable, sadly, is going to happen. And the Taliban will take over parts again. Because people who have nothing and are illiterate are going to be aligned with the people who are helping them, which will then turn back to the Taliban. I'm not trying to be cynical. Once the U.S. is completely out of sight. Now, what happened and what do we learn about Iraq? All the money we dumped into that country. What about war reparations? Have we seen one thin dime of war reparations? Now, the Iraqi National Council, if you will, is saying they need some U.S. investment to rebuild. Come on, we need your help. We need your dollars. So they're making calls. They're calling businesses and saying, come to Iraq. Come to Iraq. You can look at investments in energy, manufacturing, and help us with the infrastructure businesses in Iraq. We want to partner up with some foreign investors. Why not? How many people will do business, do you think, in Iraq? How much American investment will we see in Iraq? Okay, I'm going to say that word again, in Iraq. There is the key buzzword. Really investing in Iraq? No, I don't think so. Private equity funds there? No, I don't think so. How about our money? How about our war reparations back? Give us some money back, you know? Let's get that. I mean, is it the last mega frontier, as it's being called, when we talk about oil and gas? And that's part of what makes the natural resources supposedly make the country rich? That's okay. We want the money. Give us the money. Give us the war reparations, and then we'll talk about American investment. I think that there would be a lot of companies who would really think twice about doing that because safety reasons. How safe are you in Iraq? Every once in a while, we'll see something bubble up there. And, of course, look at the proximity to other places when you check out a map of the Middle East. I mean, the Middle East right now is whack-a-mole. You're not really sure where it's going to bubble up. So, truly, American companies to dive into any kind of business there, I think is risky. Not if you're in the oil and gas business and you have people out there, because you know that you're in risky areas. But in some of these other blue chip companies, other things, other possibilities that would happen, I don't think so. And partnering up, especially infrastructure businesses, manufacturing, India. That's where American companies go. India, China. Ask Mr. Dell about that. Yeah, Michael Dell. And he's not the only one. How much is going into other areas, other countries? Yes, we are seeing that. But Iraq certainly wouldn't be the place that I would say, let's do it. Unless you really had some incredible business plan that you knew would work and would help you, your company in the United States, and do something that would make you partner up with somebody in Iraq. But I think that'd be pretty, I'm going to say that'd be pretty risky business. Let's just get the money back. Let's get the war reparations first. It's going to be a big, bad week in Washington. And one of the things I happened to see on a website that I was looking at, it's interesting because Hillary Clinton is getting ready to leave office. And, of course, last week was the whole Benghazi showdown. And now the conversation still is about Hillary Clinton. And this time, and we've talked about this already before, is about running in 2016. Joe Biden was now talking about running in 2016. So both of them. Is it because you get drunk with power and you're just thinking about, ooh, what's my next move? What am I going to do? And I think Hillary Clinton is no way running in 2016. I don't see it. I don't see the possibility there, because she's going to be out of politics for 4 years. So Biden has always had that fantasy about being president. But for Clinton, she almost was the Democratic nominee. But Clinton in 2016, let's say they were the only two left on the island. The island of misfits, right? And it's for the Democrats. They got to come up with two people in 2016, and they got to narrow it down. You think they're narrowing it down between Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden? You want to throw in your two cents? You can. 855-266-8, 855-266-5283.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Ali C. Why Ali C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Ali C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Ali C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Ali C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Ali C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Ali C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali C. For more information and to order Ali C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Ali C today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
In the U.S., one in every 50 homes will have a break-in this year. Burglars call it smash and grab. Police call it robbery. We call it avoidable. We are Fake TV, a simple electronic device that can fool even professional burglars. Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet and simulates the changing colors of a television. To a burglar, it looks like someone must be home watching TV, so they'll likely move on to an easier target. At only $34.95, Fake TV costs less than a month of most alarm monitoring plans. And it's perfect if you're traveling or away from home. Order your Fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent. What's better than Mountain House freeze-dried food? Buckets of Mountain House freeze-dried food. Now the freeze-dried guy introduces convenient, easy-to-store Mountain House survival buckets filled with our top-selling items. Each item is sealed in a Mylar-type pouch, and each pouch is neatly packed in clear buckets so you can easily see the contents inside. These Mountain House survival buckets come with well over a 25-year shelf life and are perfect for emergency preparedness, camping, backpacking, or at-home use. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on freeze-dried foods, and choose our 12-month, 6-month, 3-month, 1-month, or 7-day Mountain House Survival Bucket with 32 generous servings starting at just $69.95. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
Thomas Jefferson once said, "When the people fear their government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty." Our God-given right to life and liberty, and the right to determine what is best for our lives and our families' health, are in jeopardy. If we the people do not diligently assert these rights, they may be taken away and lost forever. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, and we will not meekly allow ourselves to be led as lambs to the slaughter. Sitting passively by and accepting the chains of slavery that are being placed on America is not an option. Please stand with Utopia Silver in this fight. Utopia Silver carries some of the most effective colloidal silver products on the market and numerous other high-quality health supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, utopiasilver.com. Or call us today at 1-888-213-4338. 1-888-213-4338.
Like this last election went on forever, this last election cycle. So isn't it interesting already talking about 2016 and what year is it? Remind me again, 2013. But the big buzz coming out of Washington was Biden and Hillary Clinton. There are certainly others that I think are on the bench for the Democrats that have more of a shot, like Cory Booker, I would say would be pretty good. Matt and I were talking off the air. The governor of Massachusetts, Deval Patrick, he gets a lot of attention, a lot of headlines for some of the things that he's done. He's not afraid to take the licks if he has to. He seems to be sort of like a Chris Christie, only Democratic. Chris Christie, Republican, isn't afraid to take the licks. And I think for the Republicans, he would be the guy, especially if he got in shape, because then he could have that whole relatable thing of, oh, you know, the weight struggle, and look, I lost 100 pounds, I walked every day. Kind of like Mike Huckabee, only he has more backing than Huckabee really did coming out of Arkansas when he was running, if you remember. But he did that whole thing where he lost a whole bunch of weight, and that was part of the conversation on the trail, because people can relate to that, that struggling with it. And if for Christie, that would be, I think, another thing that would make people feel like they could really, as on a personal side, get what Chris Christie went through in having to do that. But he's certainly not there yet. He's talked about it. I think he really wants to run 2016 for the Republicans. Wouldn't it be wild if you had like a Cory Booker and a, because there's another Jersey guy, Cory Booker and Chris Christie on the opposite sides But that seems so far away, doesn't it? It seems so ridiculously far away. You can tell it's the beginning of the week because we are talking about a whole bunch of different things coming off of the weekend. Some of the stuff that I haven't even mentioned is the Hollywood types had another show where they handed out awards, and Argo got Best Picture at the SAG Awards. That's the Screen Actors Guild. So the actors, the peers, pick the Best Picture and Best Actor and all that kind of stuff. So yet another big award for Ben Affleck for the movie about the Iran hostage crisis, at least the six anyway. How interesting is that? It's a, man, I'm telling you, it was just a great flick. The cheap movie reviews we do, the one thing that I would say to you, you know, often I'm saying, just wait, just rent it, it's good, but rent it. That would be a good one to see on the big screen. It's worth it. If you have to pony up $9, sneak in your candy or whatever, that's the way to go for that one. It plays well, I think, on the big screen. Not that you couldn't rent it. Casey Anthony's not going to be renting anything anytime soon. There's a wild left turn for you. She filed bankruptcy in Florida very quietly, so she thought. She claimed about $1,100 in assets and $792,000 in liabilities. Because remember, she was acquitted of killing her two-year-old daughter, Kaylee, in 2011. But her debts included, because I was looking at the debts, that's why I brought it up on the show. I thought that was interesting. Her debts were $500,000 for attorney fees and costs for her criminal defense during the trial. So, you know, the main guy who represented her, Jose Baez, $145,000 plus. Then money for the Orange County Sheriff's Office for the judgment investigation and the fees and all that sort of stuff. Who knew? $68,000 for the IRS for taxes, interest, and penalties. And then you break it down from there. Florida Department of Law Enforcement, $61,000 something or other. And then, of course, she's a defendant in a bunch of civil suits, including one that was brought on in a defamation suit in the Orange County court, too. And there goes that 15 minutes of fame. So easy. 80 creditors. She had a 60-page court filing. 80 creditors. Wow. There's even one claim for a debt for scuba diving services. I had to learn how to scuba dive. That's where I was hiding when everybody was coming after me. And because really, everybody was looking for her once she was done. Once she was acquitted, that was it. You know, the jurors convicted her of 4 counts of lying to detectives. Her attorneys appealed the conviction. She was sentenced to time served. You already know that whole thing. Blah, 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 blah. And her whereabouts, where is she? Best kept secret outside of Florida. But filing for bankruptcy. Didn't she want some kind of show? Wasn't there somebody talking to her about doing some kind of a reality show? Now, that would be a miscarriage of justice. Do we really care? Do we want to see Casey Anthony after that? I don't think so. And who wanted to buy the book? Wasn't she writing a book or coming up with a book? I guess not. All right, on to something a lot bigger and more important than some of the other stuff that we've been talking about. How do you feel about 80,000 gallons of oil just spilling out to all our friends in Mississippi, Vicksburg, Mississippi? So sorry about that. In the Mississippi River, it's closing it for 8 miles in each direction. And what happened was a barge that was carrying all that oil smashed into a railroad bridge. What is it lately with people driving through bridges or going under bridges or whatever? They usually know how to maneuver this kind of stuff. So there's just an oily sheen, and it's 3 miles just downriver. I'm giving you the exact location so you can picture it in your mind. Vicksburg. And this happened, you know, in the morning, over the weekend. 1:12 in the morning is about the time they have it. So after midnight anyway, who cares the exact time. And they're still trying to figure the source of the leak, but it looks like it was coming from the one or two tanks at the stern of the first barge. And they said there wasn't any kind of indication that any oil was leaking from the second one because there was two of them, and it was unclear whether the second one also hit the bridge or was damaged through a collision with the first. So there's confusion over that. This happened in the wee hours. There's two barges, one railroad bridge, and now 80,000 gallons of oil. So what happens when that happens? Of course, you got to contain it. What do? The oil booms, right? You got to collect it. You got to transfer it. You got to figure out how to separate the barges, all that kind of stuff. So I'm certain that's going to be closed for a while, at least through Monday, probably much longer than that, through the week for sure. And the what's going to happen after that is just corralling the oil. That's what they have to do. The tugboats come in, they pull them away, and then they figure out what was the cause of the spill. What happened? How did it drop all this? You know, how did this collision happen, or how did it hit the bridge, or, you know, whatever. And it's been a while since they've had that happen on the Mississippi River, but it has happened. In 2008, a fuel barge collided with a tanker and broke in half. I remember that. And it was almost 300,000 gallons of crude that went into water there, and it closed that river for 6 days. So here we go again. They don't think it's going to be any kind of a threat to the Gulf of Mexico, thank goodness, because they're running all those commercials, the BP commercials. Come back to Mississippi. Come to Florida. Come to, where else are they saying, Louisiana or Alabama. They don't want to send, they're talking about the Gulf of Mexico. They don't want that oil getting down there. It's probably too far. It's almost 350 miles south of Vicksburg. I never say never, but probably still. If you think about how the Gulf states are doing, I mentioned that commercial, I'm sure you've seen it, where you've got four different people talking about the wonderful things that those four places I just mentioned have to offer. And this all is still the recovery of what happened with the Deepwater Horizon drilling rig, how quickly it forms in the recesses of our mind. But that happened back in April of 2010 and spewed how many gallons? That's kind of in dispute, but it was huge, 200 million, somewhere like that. And they're still trying to recover. They're still trying to boost tourism and get people to come back and not think that, yeah, I don't know about that water there. Is it risky? So this isn't good. They don't want to hear about any other oil spills. And plus, when you hear about oil spills, what does it make you think of? You think of two things. I think you think of two things. You think of the birds and the Alaska oil spill. Remember that? I know you know it. The Valdez, remember? The birds and how they were all just had all that crude all over them. People, I think when you say oil spill, people's minds, it's just what you think of. What's your visual image? Whether it's right or wrong, boom, that's the visual image you're thinking. And the Gulf, because the pump, the live pump that we saw, all the controversy, all of that. So now you have a barge. I mean, is it wind? Is it the currents? Does it affect how the barge moves around? I mean, you have to be a pretty good pilot to navigate under some of those railroad bridges, but I would assume the people that are piloting the barges, I guess you never assume. I would have assumed that most of them really knew how to navigate that area. You know, will they take a breathalyzer test? I'm assuming they're going to look at all that kind of stuff. You know, the Mississippi River had the drought to deal with. I mean, the river, honestly, it's like somebody said to me in a text, man, they can't catch a break in Mississippi. And the Mississippi River, when you go and see from the banks in different areas, Vicksburg's one of those places, you know, the old battlefield, you go and you look at the Mississippi River, it is beautiful. It is the mighty Mississippi. And boy, we are certainly with these crazy accidents trying to destroy it. One gallon of oil at a time. All right, on the flip side, the gun control debate rages.
In this unpredictable world, disaster can strike anyone. That's why an essential part of any emergency survival plan must be stove in a can. When power goes out and gas lines are down, the portable, safe, easy-to-use stove in a can cooks food up to 4 hours and boils water in as little as 5 minutes. Stove in a can comes with everything you need. The stove, fuel, even waterproof matches, all in a compact, durable, heavy-duty container. Plus, the all-natural all non-explosive 100% waterproof fuel source can be stored indefinitely. Say goodbye to the hassle and danger of propane, lighter fluid, or gas. Stock up now and protect your family with Stove in a Can, starting out at $29.99. Special bundle offers now available with a 100% satisfaction guarantee or your money back. Order yours today at stoveinacan.com. That's stoveinacan.com.
Is this the year you finally get serious about your family's drinking water? If so, keep listening for a special offer from Big Berkey Water Filters. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water is fluoridated? Berkey Water Filters distinguish themselves from many other filtration systems with the capability to significantly reduce dangerous chlorine, fluoride, arsenic, and disinfection byproducts from municipal water via the Black Berkey and PF line of filters. Then there's affordability. At only 1.7 cents per gallon, Berkey Water Filters purify treated and untreated water, even stagnant pond water. Stop and think how much money you could save by simply reducing buying bottled water and using water filtered by your Berkey water filter. No need to be constantly replacing expensive filters with a Berkey. A single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. Choose the best size Berkey for your needs at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And right now, all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Just call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Free shipping on every order over $50. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Looking back on 2012, we ask ourselves, how did we ever survive from natural disasters like Hurricane Sandy and the devastating summer drought to the family hardships brought on by a disastrous economy? Our hearts go out to those that have lost everything. At eFoods Direct, we hear from customers every day that are fortunate enough to weather life's storm by having a supply of food on hand. After Hurricane Sandy, Danny from New York City wrote, "Almost all of the grocery stores are closed, but I managed to get my eFoods just in time to be able to help my sister and niece. It is better to be prepared 10 years too early than one day too late. I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Heed the warnings and do what Alex has done. Call 800-409-5633 today or go to efoodsdirect.com/Alex and build your food supply. It's the best tasting non-GMO long-term storable food on the planet. Call 800-409-5633 or efoodsdirect.com/Alex. You can bet your life on eFoods Direct.
Assault ban is not the answer to helping keep people safe. We need to be looking at mental health. We need to be looking at the root causes, some of these psychotropic drugs, and not let this be about the weapon. We need to make certain we keep children safe. And that's what we want to do. But I got to tell you, when I hear some of this conversation, I think that we're looking at symptoms. We're not looking at the root causes.
All right, Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn calls it like she sees it. That's why she was elected in the area where she was elected, Tennessee, where she represents. And she, you heard her talk about guns, because so much of what we're now seeing is, hey, gun control, gun control, gun control. And Blackburn is saying, listen, you know, that's not the root cause here. The president is saying that the House Republicans on the issue of gun control just aren't willing to work with him, or they're not going to listen to the public on the issue. So I'm just wondering, all the polls that I see, it still seems kind of split to me. I'm going to call it 50-50. Maybe a couple of numbers skew one way or the other in one direction, but I think it's close enough. So specifically what the press is saying is that he can get 50% of public support for most of the upcoming initiatives, but he says he can't get enough votes out of the House to get something passed, and he thinks that there is still shock on the part of some in the party that he won re-election. So he's saying that there's still people that can't believe it, and that he doesn't understand why they're not willing to work. That why can't we work on this? Blah blah blah. And especially when we talk about the realities of guns in urban areas, how it's different from guns in rural areas. You know what? I'll give them that part. Certainly, when you're in a giant city like New York, guns are different, and what can happen with guns, in a sense, it's much different than in a rural area because of the way guns are treated and the way people, I think in some cases, respect the gun or they hunt. And this is the whole thing. It's the tradition and it's a family tradition, and hunting is very different than all this other kind of stuff that we're talking about. And he says it's understandable that people are protective of that kind of a tradition when it comes to the hunting deal. So gun control advocates need to listen. This is what the president is saying, more than they do in the debate. I think, I mean, honestly, he's smart because he's trying to spin it. But I don't think that's what the reality is. The reality is the gun control is strictly what it is. You can't be on the fence on this. It's just one way or the other. You're either saying no to guns, no to handguns, no to any kind of assault weaponry, or how much ammunition is going to be doled out there, all that stuff. We can go through every little piece of this. Or you're saying, I don't think this is really where we want to head, because what it'll ultimately lead to is the lack of being able to legally obtain a firearm as a responsible citizen. And I think that's part of the massive fear. If you start to throw a bunch of laws out there and really legislate this, what will it mean? How will this, you know, ultimately shape our future when it comes to purchasing any kind of a gun? Now, another thing that Obama said is one of the biggest factors in gun control in the debate is going to be shaped by the media. I don't think he was talking about America Tonight, because he specifically mentioned, though, Rush Limbaugh. He said, if a Republican member, this is the president, he says, if a Republican member of Congress is not punished on Fox News or by Rush Limbaugh for working with a Democrat on a bill of common interest, then you'll see more of them doing it. And he said, I think John Boehner genuinely wanted to get a deal done, but it was hard to do in part because of his caucus is more conservative probably than most Republican leaders are, and partly because he is vulnerable to attacks for compromising Republican principles and working with me. So he says, look, if there's more left-leaning media outlets recognize that compromise is not a dirty word and that party leaders will do it, then probably we'll get more stuff done. Is that true? You know, and what's interesting, because he just did a big article in the New Republic that's coming out February 11th, he was asked, well, have you ever fired a gun? And he said, yes. He said he and a bunch of others shoot skeet at the retreat in Maryland, Camp David. So he has shot a gun. And, you know, that's the thing. That's what people are concerned about, I think. The concern is, how far would you go down that path before, in this gun push, in what's happening here, before too much of it is all just taken out, where all of it's taken out, and the people that are responsible gun owners don't like the idea of tougher gun laws shaking them up. I mean, look at New York. That's where Remington has its home base, and Remington's going to bolt, and they're going to lose jobs because they can't stay there if they're going to have these tougher laws that Cuomo's writing in and getting the push for. And I honestly, gun control, he's right about that. Gun control on the Hill is a no-go in the House. I don't see how anything is going to change with the Republican leadership there, or some of the Democrats who also, by the way, don't want to see some of what's been discussed in the reach for guns. It not strictly about assault weapons, but about other things much broader than that. And I think Senator Dianne Feinstein knows that, you know, you might have voters that say they don't want it, you might have police that come forward, you might have a lot of other people, but going up against trying to push forward any kind of a bill like that, and going up against the largest gun rights lobby, the NRA, it's not happening. It's not happening. Too much money is involved in that, and too much gray area for people who are responsible gun owners who do not want to lose the ability to have a gun in their house to defend themselves. You know, many of you have written me letters about it, and some say take the guns away, but many of you have told stories about a gun saving your life, whether it was a home invasion situation or something similar to it, where you were able to fend off the challenge because you had access to your weapon and you knew how to use it, and you didn't want to discharge it, but you had the threat of it. I say this all the time. For me, what the push is, responsible gun ownership. If you want to have a different kind of system where you have different kind of checks, I get that. I get the whole mental health thing. I just think it's very hard to police that as well, because how do you decide who is mentally handicapped in the area of having a gun? How do you decide where somebody is, you know, how do you decide where somebody is too kooky, too far over the top to get a gun versus someone who, okay, they have slight depression problems, so they're on Zoloft? And is it that you have anything, you're taking anything, and you know, forget it, you could never be issued a gun? You know, I don't know. I think it's pretty tough to sort it out. I'm all for that. I'm all for more mental health facilities being available to people and more recognition of that and realizing that this is a big problem that's not being dealt with in this country. But I'm telling you, the problem is that's also an area that you just can't throw one thing out there and say anybody with any kind of a mental health record, anybody who went in for a treatment, anybody who went in for counseling, how many people would that be in the United States? How many people who currently own guns would at some point have had, cops have to do that if they shoot somebody. They have to undergo counseling on the force. Can you imagine? Well, of course, that wouldn't work. So then you'd have to examine everybody else. And I think something has to be done there, but I'm not sure, you know, I'm not sure how you do that, how you wrap your arms around the whole idea of red flagging the people who could possibly be potentially dangerous to society. How do you do that? On a final note here, cop from New Jersey says, being a cop, I had to use the weapon twice and take out someone. You never forget it. Yep, that's right. See, he's telling you, it's not what you really want to do, but if you know how to use it and then you're responsible, and he was a cop, he knew what to do, and that's the whole idea. There is a big difference there. Any thoughts on the show, send them to me, americatonight.net.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.